Lord. So we're looking at covenant. Amen. Okay, first, there's a question. What is a covenant? A covenant is a formal agreement, contract, or promise in writing. Amen? And that's the dictionary. Amen? So a covenant is a formal agreement, contract, or promise in writing. And guess what? It's between two persons or two parties or two entities. Amen? So there are responsibilities on both sides of the contract. There are responsibilities on both sides of the contract. So God has established a covenant with his people. What that means is that God, in establishing that covenant, God is saying, I am committed to do so and so. But on the other side, we also have responsibilities in that covenant. Amen? And we have got to keep to our side of the contract. If not, the contract is broken. Amen? Praise God. So, a covenant is a formal agreement, contract, or promise in writing. And in the Old Testament, covenants were not written. They were not written. They were cut. And we're going to see what that means. Amen. You know, the word of God is so exciting. They were cut. Amen. They were cut. So you have an Old Testament covenant and you have the New Testament covenant. Praise God. Amen. Everybody with me so far? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Food for thought. For many contemporary Christians, the Old Testament has been rejected and replaced by a new covenant. Right? And it's not rejected. The Old Testament has not been rejected. It has been fulfilled. Amen? It has been fulfilled. According to Edward N. Gross, for some Christians, the new covenant is a life of grace, where sin no longer is of great concern to the Christian. We are forgiven. Sin is finished. Pressure to perform has been removed. Now that's what some people think. But it is not so. Amen? It is not so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen? Let me read that again. I think it's worth repeating. According to Edward N. Gross, for some Christians, the new covenant is a life of grace, where sin no longer is a great concern to the Christian. We are forgiven. Sin is finished. Pressure to perform has been removed. And that is deception. Amen? And we're going to look at this in the context of covenant. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, let us examine and compare Old Testament and New Testament covenants. Genesis 15, verses 9 to 10. Praise God. The Lord told him, that is Abraham. Amen. You know, God told him before this, God told him to look up in the skies and look at the stars. And he said, your seed shall be like the stars in heaven. And he's going to give him a land. Right? He's going to give him a land. Hallelujah. For his inheritance. So the Lord told him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abraham presented all those to him and killed them. Watch this. Remember I said Old Testament covenants are cut, not signed on paper. It says, then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Amen? So, basically what they did, they cut the animals in half, lay one side to the left, one side to the right, and a passage was left down the middle of the halves. Very important. A passage was left down the middle of the halves. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verses 17-18. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abraham saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. Between the halves. In other words, down that passage between the halves. That flaming torch and firepot was the Lord. The presence of the Lord. So the Lord was making covenant with Abraham. With Abraham. Right? And the Lord passed down the passage between the halves of the animals. It says, so the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I here give this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. Amen. I want you to look at the map when you go home of the Middle East. You see what God gave Abraham? He gave him all the land from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. And that is why when the Palestinians and all who are against Israel are saying that Israel is occupying territory that does not belong to them, that's not true. That's a lie. God gave them that territory. God cut a covenant with Abraham and he said, your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. Amen. I beg you, don't join with those who are critical against Israel. Don't join with those who are saying that Israel should be removed from the land and cast into the sea or obliterated, because God made a covenant with Abraham. Amen. They are there because God gave them the land. Very important. Very important. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care what the Palestinians want to say. I don't care what the Syrians want to say. I don't care what the Muslims want to say. But Israel has been placed there by God. And may I say, I don't care what the United Nations want to say, because the United Nations are now siding with the Palestinians and the others who want Israel to be removed from the land. So the Bible says, those who bless Israel shall be blessed. Those who curse Israel shall be cursed. And if you want to be cursed, if you want to test God's word, try and curse Israel. I encourage you not to, because you will be cursed. Amen. Mr. Holiness, went to Israel the other day. First Jamaican Prime Minister to visit Israel, and people are criticizing him and saying, why has he gone to Israel? You need to understand that those people who criticize him are anti-Israeli people. They are anti-Israeli. Amen? Let me tell you, it's a very wise visit, because the Bible says those who bless Israel will be blessed. Jamaica will be blessed with the association with Israel. So, praise the Lord. I put that on the table this morning. Praise God. But you see, as Christians, we are Bible people. We don't go by the opinions of the United Nations. We don't go by the opinion of the Lebanese or the PLO or ISIS. But we go by the opinion of the Bible. That's very important. We are Bible people. Amen? And I make no apology for it. This church is a Bible church. If the Bible says, love your enemies, we're going to love our enemies. Because the Bible says so. Amen? Not easy, but the Bible says so. Praise God. Amen. So, look at this. In ancient times, the parties sometimes solemnized a covenant by walking down an aisle flanked by the pieces of slaughtered animals. And we're going to look at Jeremiah. The practice signified a self-maledictory oath. May it be so done to me if I do not keep my oath and pledge. In other words, when the parties walked down the aisle between the halves, they were saying, what happened to these animals? May it happen to us or to me if I don't keep my pledge. Hey, that's what covenant meant to them. What does covenant mean to you? Amen? What does covenant mean to you? You see, when a man and a woman are married and they walk down the aisle, it's a covenant. It's covenant. And covenant is a very serious thing in God's eyes. Let me read that again. In ancient times, the parties sometimes solemnized a covenant by walking down an aisle flanked by the pieces of slaughtered animals. The practice signified a self-maledictory oath. May it be so done to me if I do not keep my oath and pledge. That's Old Testament covenant. Amen? What is happening in the church? There's a flippancy with respect to covenant. Oh, God understands. God understands that I just couldn't help myself. I was feeling, But that's not covenant. Amen? That's not covenant. Praise God. And that was taken from the NIV study Bible notes. Amen? And I found that information in another source. I counter-checked it. May it be so done to me if I do not keep my oath and pledge. They took covenant seriously. And God expects his people to take covenant seriously. Let's look at Genesis 17:9 now. That was referred to in the slide before. It says, then God said to Abraham, watch this. No, not that one. Your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. Remember I said, each party has a responsibility. We want God to heal us. We want God to bless us with a job. We want God to bless us with a house. We want God to bless us with a husband or a wife. We want God to bless us when we're going out and bless us when we're coming in. But guess what? We have a responsibility. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Said, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. How do we know the terms of the covenant? The Bible tells us the terms of the covenant. That's why we need to read our Bible and pray every day. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis 17:11. This is another cutting covenant. It says, you must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. Amen. That's circumcision. Amen. As a sign what? Of the covenant between me and you. Now when they cut off the flesh, what did they do? They threw it in the garbage. And basically, what Abraham was saying, if I do not keep your covenant, may what happened to that flesh happen to me. That's what he was saying. Genesis 17:14. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off. If you break the covenant, you're going to be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. Amen? Any male who failed to be circumcised. And we saw in Genesis where Moses did not circumcise his son. And God came to kill Moses. Why? Because he failed to keep the covenant. And his wife saw God coming to kill him. And his wife took her knife and cut off the son's foreskin quickly. And God drew back. Because he met the term of the covenant. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. Some people say, boy, once saved, always saved. But let me tell you, there's a cut off. You can get cut off, as we will see. Amen? Jeremiah, this is the one now. Jeremiah 34, verses 18 to 19. It says, God says, because you have broken the terms of our covenant, amen, I will cut you apart just as you cut apart the calf when you walked between its halves to solemnize your vows. You see the connection to what you did before? Eh? You see the connection? Let me read it again. Because you have broken the terms of our covenant, I will cut you apart just as you cut apart the calf when you walk between its halves to solemnize your vows. Yes, I will cut you apart, whether you are officials of Judah or Jerusalem, court officials, priests, or common people, for you have broken your oath. So covenant is a serious thing to God. Amen? A serious thing to God. Covenant. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So, what about the New Testament? Does the New Testament support such serious commitment to covenant? Journey with me. Praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26 and 27. It says, praise the Lord, what happened here, sir? Battery done, praise God. Amen. It says, for every time, how many times? Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. This cup. Amen. And I won't cover it now, but this bread. Amen. He said, every time. It says, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So watch this now. We're looking at covenant. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that means you're not up to scratch. Amen? Is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Remember, we're gonna see that Jesus made a covenant with us. Verse 28. Watch this. Is covenant serious in the New Testament? He says, that is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. 29. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Why? Because God takes covenant seriously in the New Testament also. Amen? Covenant is very, very serious business in the New Testament also. Praise God. Verse 30. Watch this. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Now, I don't know what you're thinking whenever you read that. But you know what it means? Some have literally died because they have broken the covenant. Amen? Some are weak, some are sick, and some have even died. Praise God. Hebrews 10:28. It says, for anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Talking about obedience to God's words. It says, just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant. See the word covenant there? The blood of the covenant. The blood that Jesus shed for you and I is the blood of the covenant. And it says, how much what? Worse the punishment. In other words, the punishment in the New Testament is worse than the punishment meted out in the Old Testament. So some people say, you know, oh, we are under grace. Let me tell you, the standards are higher in the New Testament. But guess what? They are achievable. In the Old Testament, they were not achievable because it was under the law. But under grace, they are achievable. Not by covering sin with grace or justifying sin with grace, but giving you the strength to say no. Giving you the strength to overcome. Let me read that again. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. Wow. Wow. That's heavy stuff. That's heavy stuff. That's frightening stuff. God is speaking to his church. God is speaking to his church, and he's saying, church, the covenant that I made in my blood, it's a serious covenant. Don't take it lightly. Hallelujah. Let us stand. You know, the writer to the Hebrews, he invites us to think. To think. He makes a statement and he invites us to think about it. And I want to invite you, I'm going to read it again, and I want you to think about it with respect to your own life. I don't want you to think about anybody else. Amen? He said, just think. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. Brethren, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we go back to fornication, we go back to lying, we go back to stealing, we go back to a life of disobedience, we are trampling underfoot the Son of God, and we are treating the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common blood, like it was cow blood or goat blood or fowl blood, and we're treating it as common and unholy, and we are insulting and disdaining the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. Covenant. Covenant in the New Testament is more serious than covenant in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament it was serious. Let us kill you. Remember that the punishment that God gives is not only in this life. But it comes after death also. Amen. I don't even hear some people going to get more punishment than others. I don't know.
But it says how much worse the punishment.
But you know, today you're alive. You're alive and you're well and you're here. And you know, repentance, as long as you're alive and your heart is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, repentance is possible. You have an opportunity to go to God and to make it right. If you have treated the blood of the covenant as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit, who brings God mercy to us, and is bringing God's mercy to us this morning, I don't want you to come to the altar. Right where you are, close your eyes. Everyone, close your eyes. And speak with God.